This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News. It's night day of November 2023, right here live on RBN, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. You might want to mark your calendar. There's been a reshuffle of our schedule here at RBN, and this show, which currently runs from 3 to 5 Central, will begin 1 hour earlier from 2 to 4 Central, beginning Monday, December 4th. Monday, December 4th. That's a little less than a month from now. You just might want to mark your calendar that as of Monday, December 4th, this show will begin 1 hour earlier. There's an interesting piece, actually a video, about the day the U.S. gave up on democracy. This concerns the coup that was executed by Kermit Roosevelt, who was a cousin of Theodore, in Tehran to overthrow the very popular Prime Minister Mossadegh, who had nationalized Iranian oil fields to benefit the people of Iran. This is something Fidel did in Cuba. This is something that Gaddafi did in Libya. And the Western nations who profit from exploiting the natural resources of the nation don't like it. So he ran a coup, and he was overthrown in 1953, installing a Shah who imposed a despotic regime that lasted until 1979, when there was a popular uprising to reestablish Iran as an Islamic republic with a semblance of justice and popular support. Very telling. It was in this era, after they took the American embassy employees hostage, that William Casey, who was then Ronald Reagan's campaign manager, negotiated with the Iranians arms for hostages as long as they did not release the hostages prior to the election. It wound up to be prior to the inauguration that the U.S. would provide them with arms. It was to guarantee Jimmy Carter wouldn't be reelected by a popular surge of support because of the release of the Iranian hostages. I regard this as a form of treason for the reason that it was keeping American employees hostage by the American government, making an arrangement with a state that we then regarded as hostile. I can't help repeating that Iran is the most peace-loving great nation in the world today, having not launched a war of aggression against any other state since, hold your breath, 1775. Believe it or not, that's longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, where the Constitution was ratified a year later, 1776. George Washington elected our first president, 1779. In all that period of time of the existence of the United States as a constitutional republic, Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state. But we have mucked up in their government plenty. It's like today, they claim we're, you know, involved in Syria because we want to bring democracy to Syria. Well, Syria is already democracy. Bashar al-Assad is their democratically elected president. I mean, it's just outrageous how Americans are lied to, and they're manipulated by their own government. And of course, in relation to Israel, it's going on apace. Meanwhile, Ukraine has taken credit for a car bombing that killed a politician in Luhansk. Ukraine's CIA-backed military intelligence had taken credit for a car bombing that killed a politician in Russian-controlled eastern Ukraine on Wednesday. Now, think about it. This is an act of terrorism. This is a political murder. That is an assassination, and the Ukrainian government is taking credit for it, and that's a government that the Democrats want us to support with all this money? A terrorist state? Again, same is true of Israel, a terrorist state. We have more and more proof of that, some of which may rather surprise you, knock off your socks. Mikhail Filipenko, a member of the local Russian-backed legislature in Luhansk and former police chief, was killed in his car outside of his home. He was born in the Ukrainian Oblast, joined the separatists who declared the creation of the Luhansk People's Republic in 2014, following the coup that ousted former President Viktor Yanukovych, who was a Russia-friendly president of Ukraine. That was another coup. We may have begun in 1953, but we've been ongoing ever since, including creating the circumstances for the war in Ukraine today. That was compliments of the United States and its CIA. And, of course, Victoria Nuland, who's a Zionist Jew who wants to use America to promote the interests of Israel. Mind you, none of these people should be in office. No dual citizen should occupy any decision-shaping decision-making or policy-shaping position in the American government, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. And in the case of Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Mayorkas, Secretary of DHS, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, they are all Zionist Jews. They all put Israel ahead of the United States. They're all doing what they can to destroy America and to advance the interests of Israel, or many up to and including the current PM of Zed, or described America as the golden calf. Bibi actually said, America's a golden calf. We're going to suck it dry and cut it into parts and destroy it, because that's what we do with nations we hate. We hate! You got the Prime Minister of Israel saying America is a nation they hate. Israel hates. Probably because it predominantly, or has been in the past, a Christian nation, though we're technically speaking not a religious state, unlike Israel, which is a Jewish state. Meanwhile, Ukraine takes credit for a terrorist act stunning. If you want to know how bad it is in Israel, October 7th testimony reveals Israel military shelling of Israeli citizens with tanks and missiles. Mac Blumenthal reporting from the Gray Zone. Israel's military received orders to shell Israeli homes and even their own bases as they were overwhelmed by Hamas militants on October 7th. How many Israeli citizens said to have been burned alive were actually killed by friendly fire? I suspect it was a majority. They wanted to create a scenario they could blame on Hamas for having slaughtered Israelis, when it was the Israelis, the IDF, that was slaughtering their own people. Several new testimonies by Israeli witnesses to the surprise attack add to growing evidence the Israeli military killed its own citizens. It says as they fought to neutralize Palestinian gunmen, but in all honesty, they didn't care. They just wanted to kill a lot of people, so it would be a big deal that Bibi could use their claim had been done by Hamas. I would surmise more were killed by Hamas, by the IDF, than were killed by Hamas by a considerable margin. Meanwhile, get this, Israel admits its own Apache choppers fired on civilians at the concert. This is right on Twitter. Breaking. Israel admits Apache helicopters fired on their own civilians running from the Supernova Music Festival. The pilots realized there was tremendous difficulty in distinguishing within the occupied outposts and the settlements who was a terrorist and who was a soldier or a civilian. The rate of fire against a thousand of terrorists was tremendous at first, and only at a certain point did the pilot begin to slow down the attack and carefully select their targets. I'm told they ran through ammunition so fast they had to go back to the base and reload again and again. This was out to make it a horrific event so Bibi could play the victim card for Israel once again. Absolutely outrageous. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera, more Israeli attacks, more death and destruction in Gaza. At least 10,328 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli attacks since October 7th. Israel has unleashed another wave of attacks across the Gaza Strip as war in the besieged enclave enters its second month. In recent day, air raids have hit UN facilities where thousands of displaced people have been sheltering, as well as hospitals, which have been overwhelmed by wounded and running low on power and supplies. An Israeli attack destroyed several homes earlier Tuesday in the southern city of Khan Yunus. This is all deliberate. This is all in violation of international law. This is all in violation of the Geneva Conventions. They just don't care. Here's an astute observation from Middle East Eye. Israeli-Palestine war. If we're not bombed together, we're going to die of starvation. A full siege imposed on October 9th following the bombing of bakeries, supermarkets, and water tanks have forced people to take extreme measures to find any food or water. Remember, I've been emphasizing the rule of threes. Human beings can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. There's only one thing on everyone's mind in Gaza right now: how to secure access to food and water. Even the never-ending bombing has become a fact of life, as residents accept there's no way to determine where the next Israeli airstrike will hit. Since 9 October, Israel has imposed a full siege on Gaza, cutting off food, water, fuel, electricity, and other necessities to the besieged enclave in a blatant act of human right violation. This is absolutely proscribed by international law. They just don't care. They claim they're responding to a higher law, to God's law. They are the chosen people. God gave them this land. And they're going to make sure they have it exclusively unto themselves. Meanwhile, Natural News reports Egypt has said no to the desire to take Palestinian refugees, which, of course, would be a very bad thing to do, because once they leave, they're not going to come back. So Egypt says no to Israel push for Gaza's 2 million residents to be forced into the Sinai Peninsula. Meanwhile, Colonel Douglas McGregor is interviewed about what the hell is going on. Listen to what
the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Turkey right behind me, and the meeting is expected to start the meeting. And there is not going to be a meeting between President Erdogan and Antony Blinken as well. So all of these are telling us something.
Telling us something. I think one of the first things it's telling us is that the United States has a real problem with its diplomatic power, because this is kind of a repeat of what happened with Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago, when Blinken went there and he was made to wait for like many hours because bin Salman was busy, didn't want to bother with him. And the disregard that he showed for Blinken, therefore the United States, is on display a lot here. And we're starting to see that more often, that our senior officials are viewed with almost contempt by even some of our allies.
As you know, Turkey's been on a path that diverges pretty sharply from the West for at least the last 20 years, maybe longer. Mr. Erdogan has simply made something clear to everyone that may not have understood it in the past, and that is that Turkey is an Islamic state, and he has restored Islam's central position in Turkish society. That brand of Islam is Sunni Islam with a Turkish flavor. And remember that Mr. Erdogan is the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, not only in the region, but also in the United States and Canada. So he's very, very prominent, particularly in Hamas circles, because Hamas is ultimately, you might say, an armed wing of the Muslim Brotherhood. So everyone turns constantly towards Iran, pointing the finger, blaming them for whatever is wrong with Hamas. But in truth, the Turks are probably closer to Hamas in their thinking and attitudes, certainly towards Israel and the world, than they are to Iran. And I think that's an important point that everybody misses.
Yeah.
The Turkish foreign minister was the one who met with him, but Mr. Blinken was not met at the airport by anyone of significance. It was almost treated as a routine visit, when in fact it's obviously not. When he did finally get to the capital, he met only with the foreign minister, whereas the Iranian foreign minister, when he visited, was received by all of the leading officials. And then after he met with the Turkish foreign minister, was able to go and meet with Mr. Erdogan. So I think the contrast is profound. I hope everybody noticed that.
And I bet no one in the United States noticed this unless they're watching Deep Dive here, which is why we're so grateful to have you on here. But I'm probably rhetorical question, but the people in the region are noticing those two contradictions.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. And Mr. Blinken has spent most of his time talking to Arab states that, let's be frank, they have power in their own right in various areas, but they're no match militarily for Israel and the United States. Egypt, for instance, which has tried very hard to maintain good relations with Israel over the last, 50 years, frankly, has no desire to go to war with Israel. But it's in a tough position given the treatment being meted out to the Arabs in Gaza. The same thing is true in Jordan, I think, also Saudi Arabia, the Emirates. But that doesn't mean that they are forgiving towards us or the Israelis for what is happening. It's just that there's probably not a great deal that they alone can do about it. And I think that's an important point. There is someone who can have a profound impact militarily, and that is Mr. Erdogan, and everybody knows it. You're talking about the largest army in NATO, probably the largest air force after our own, and conceivably one of the largest navies in the world. And that's not all. I mean, Mr. Erdogan currently maintains what is reportedly the largest drone fleet in the world, that is unmanned aerial vehicles. And they have made a lot of progress. They build a lot of their own equipment. It's very good equipment. They have a huge manpower pool, over 2 million reservists. They can be rapidly mobilized if necessary. And anyone who bothers to look at the televised demonstrations can conclude very rapidly that this public is very firmly behind Mr. Erdogan on this question.
And in fact, that's a point I wanted to make out here. We have a small piece of a clip here which brings out a couple of important points, and then we're going to follow that up with something Erdogan specifically said. And I want you to help us interpret that. First of all, Gary, show that first clip there.
At a mass rally in Istanbul Saturday, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan stepped up his support of Hamas, declaring again that Hamas is not a terrorist organization, but a liberation movement. The Turkish leader went on to warn that Turkey may come in the night to Gaza, with the crowd chanting to send the Turkish military. In response to Erdogan's statements, Israel has recalled its diplomats from Turkey, setting back the country's newly restored diplomatic relations.
So this isn't something that's happening in the dark. I mean, there was over a million people standing there, at that rally. And Erdogan is absolutely out in the front, not afraid of what anybody has to think about it. And I think one of the more concerning issues, but especially in light of what you just said about their military power, he said this.
Ya İsrail, sen buralara nasıl geldin? Nasıl girdin? Sen bir işgalcisin. Sen bir örgütsün. Dolayısıyla tüm millet de bunu biliyor.
We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for a private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. And open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
Bear in mind that the motto of Israeli's Mossad is to wage war by deception. If you wanted to draw the U.S. into the war on Israel's side, one way to do it would be to attack U.S. bases, especially if you wanted the U.S. to attack Iran and blame it on the Iranians. So, what do we have from antiwar.com? U.S. launches more airstrikes in eastern Syria against IRGC sites. The Pentagon said Wednesday night the U.S. had launched more airstrikes in eastern Syria, targeting a facility used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated groups. An umbrella group of Shia militants that calls itself the Islamic Resistance of Iraq has taken credit for many of these attacks on U.S. bases. The militia has received support from Iran, but it's unclear if Tehran is directing the attacks. The Pentagon previously acknowledged, get this, it has no evidence of direct Iranian involvement. For their part, Iran has denied any role in the attacks on U.S. troops. I have no doubt that's correct, that's accurate. The Iranians are truthful, honest people. The Americans and the Israelis, alas, are not. It's truly disgusting where we find ourselves today. Meanwhile, Yemen, bear in mind, which has already declared war on the United States, has reported it claimed out, shot down a U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone. This is a kind of drone that was used to kill Soleimani at the Iraqi International Airport on Trump's watch, which in my opinion was unforgivable. He's still by far the best candidate and the only one, in my opinion, who can get us out of the quagmire we're here domestically. He's a non-interventionist. He doesn't believe in wars. I think he would rapidly get us out of all this happy horseshit going on around the world. My belief. Houthis in the country of Yemen are publicly claiming they shot down a US MQ-9 Reaper drone operating in Yemen airspace over Yemen territorial waters. Sources in the Pentagon told me that Hal Turner just moments ago. We have no information in case these reports are true. Of course, that's what they're going to say. They would admit that the Houthis have the ability to shoot down their drones. Meanwhile, and this ought to be very, very disturbing. This is from U.S. News and World Report. Hezbollah's anti-ship missiles bolster its threat to the U.S. Navy. This is serious. Beirut. Powerful Russian anti-ship missiles acquired by Hezbollah give it the means to deliver on its leader's veiled threat against U.S. warships and underline the grave risks of any regional war, sources familiar with the group's arsenal say. Hezbollah leader Saeed Hassan Nasrallah warned Washington last week his group had something in store for U.S. vessels deployed to the region since war erupted last month between Hamas and Israel, shaking the Middle East. Two sources in Lebanon, familiar with the Iran-backed group's arsenal, say he was referring to Hezbollah's greatly enhanced anti-ship missile capabilities, including the Russian-made Yakut missile with a range of 300 kilometers, 186 miles. That's quite an imposing threat. Meanwhile, talk about hypocrisy. While the U.S. declares itself to be against Hamas and terrorist groups in Gaza, it supports terrorists in Syria. Of course it do. We created ISIS. That was the handiwork of John Brennan, then director of the CIA, Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State Barack Obama, then president in 2012, to create a terrorist army to rape and loot and pillage in Syria. And they're still doing it. I mean, it's outrageous. You talk about the great Satan. We are the nation that wears that hat. Meanwhile, Netanyahu envisions an indefinite Israeli occupation of Gaza. The White House is declaring Israel is going to have unlimited security responsibilities after the war. But in my opinion, this is a psyop. You think about after the war, when the slaughter continues unabated. Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu envisions Israel taking overall security responsibility for the Gaza Strip indefinitely if the Israeli war to destroy Hamas is successful. I think Israel will, for an indefinite period, have overall security. That means mopping up. That means killing more Palestinians if we didn't get them all. Right back.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, People are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food, but the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Something I say, it's all right.
Here's a report out of a news service in Russia. Israel's nuclear triad will reach Beirut, Tehran, and Moscow if necessary. Exactly a month ago, militants from the Bosnian group Hamas carried off a massive rocket attack and, frankly, an outright terrorist raid on the territory of southern Israel, killing more than 1,500 civilians and taking hundreds hostages. We know now Israel was responsible for at least half, I would surmise, more of those deaths. Israel itself. Official Tel Aviv promised an unprecedentedly cruel response. Well, right there, you're declaring a violation of international law, which stipulates that you cannot have a disproportionate response. If you have a relatively minor infraction, and as these matters go, this was a relatively minor infraction, you cannot come about with a massive all-out genocidal assault. That's a violation of international law. They just don't care. But, the source asks, how far can the Jewish state go in relation to its Arab neighbors? And can all of this turn out? We must shoot with atomic weapons. In March 2014, shortly after a coup took place in Ukraine and Crimea became Russian, the well-known Tulia Timoshenko, in a telephone conversation I believe being public, spoke out in favor of the use of nuclear weapons in Russia. We need to take up arms and go kill these damn capsabs. I would find a way to kill all these swears, hope that I will turn all my connections, raise the whole world as soon as I saw it. Damn it. From this Russia, there's not even a scorched field left. Fortunately for us all, at that time, Kiev did not have a nuclear arsenal. They were wanting to go all out attacking Russia. What would happen if such threats were made by a high-ranking official of a state that supposedly has nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them? We're talking, of course, about Israel, which, according to some estimates, has from 150 to 200 secretly created nuclear warheads. By the way, I've heard estimates anywhere from 400 to 800, in the production of which Tel Aviv Western partners help. The fact that Jewish state has a nuclear arsenal was indirectly confirmed by Prime Minister Golda Meir. Firstly, we do not have nuclear weapons, and secondly, if necessary, we will use them. I love it. There's having a way with words. We don't have them, but if necessary, we will use them. Meanwhile, there have been a lot of ramifications in the United States. Biden rocked by a White House mutiny. A staffer makes a bold accusation against Joe Biden. For decades, the U.S. has been a stalwart ally to Israel, even though it attacked the USS Liberty in 1967, even though it attacked the World Trade Center on 9/11/2001. It has brought hostility from groups who seek to destroy the one Jewish state in the world. When Israel went to war with Hamas, the Biden admin continued America's history of supporting Israel. But a growing number of Democrats are breaking from this norm. Progressives are slandering Israel, accusing it of doing something unthinkable, which it did. And now someone within Biden's own admin has made the shocking accusation from Fox. A woman identified as a State Department employee has used social media to accuse President Biden and his admin of being complicit in genocide toward the people of Gaza, and where it could stifle his re-election chance in 2024. You are providing significantly more military assistance to the government that is indiscriminately attacking innocent Gazans. You are complicit in genocide. I agree with that 100%. One of the reasons I was so impressed when Grand Central Station was taken over by, maybe several thousand Jews who were opposed to genocide. So what's going on now with the election? What do we have in terms of takeaways? Here are the key takeaways. If we can follow them up, if I can actually read them. Sometimes a link won't show on one computer that would show on another. Here are highlights from the third presidential debate. Check it out.
This sensational
I'll bring them up as soon as I can, but it will take a second to get there. Here we go.
Governor DeSantis, let me begin with you on this one. Speak to Republican voters who are supporting Donald Trump. Why should you and not him be the Republican nominee to face Joe Biden a year from now? Now, if you look where we are now, it's a lot different than we were in 2016. And Donald Trump's a lot different guy than he was in 2016. He owes it to you to be on this stage and explain why he should get another chance. He said Republicans were going to get tired of winning. Well, we saw last night, I'm sick of Republicans losing.
You know, everybody wants to talk about President Trump. Well, I can talk about President Trump. I can tell you that I think he was the right president at the right time. I don't think he's the right president now.
We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. Is it cancer in the Republican establishment? Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party.
As president of the United States, what would you be urging Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do at this moment, Governor DeSantis?
I would be telling Bibi, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas.
The last thing we need to do is to tell Israel what to do. The only thing we should be doing is supporting them and eliminating Hamas. It is not that Israel needs America. America needs Israel.
Israel has the right and the responsibility to defend itself. I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border, and then I'll tell him, as president of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border.
And what is Biden doing? Not only is he not helping the Jewish students who are being persecuted, he is launching an initiative to combat so-called Islamophobia. No, it's the anti-Semitism that's spiraling out of control.
Right. Ukraine is not a paragon of democracy. This is a country that has banned 11 opposition parties. It has consolidated all media into one state TV media arm. That's not democratic. It has threatened not to hold elections this year unless the U.S. forks over more money. That is not democratic. It has celebrated a Nazi in its ranks, the comedian in cargo pants, a man called Zelensky, doing it in their own ranks. That is not democratic.
I am telling you, Putin and President Xi are salivating at the thought that someone like that could become president. They would love to.
The fact of the matter is, she doesn't answer the question.
So this is what I will tell you.
We're driving Russia into China's hands.
You had your time to talk.
TikTok is not only spotware, it is polluting the minds of American young people all throughout this country, and they're doing it intentionally.
In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Adult daughter. The next generation of Americans are using it.
As much as I'm pro-life, I don't judge anyone for being pro-choice, and I don't want them to judge me for being pro-life. So when we're looking at this, there are some states that are going more on the pro-life side. I welcome that. There are some states that are going more on the pro-choice side. I wish that wasn't the case, but the people decided.
We need a 15-week federal limit. 3 out of 4 Americans agree with a 15-week limit.
But don't make the American people think that you're going to push something on them when we don't even have the votes in the Senate. It's literally important that we're honest about that.
Well, there was a lot of Israeli ass kissing there. That's no surprise. And there was a lot of, you know, pro-life talk. 15 weeks, I think that's really, frankly, absurd in my opinion. But then everyone knows I believe Roe v. Wade was properly decided. Now we're having this patchwork quilt all over the different states. I think that's all wrong. I think there ought to be a uniform policy that the Supreme Court got it right way back when. Meanwhile, Ramaswamy said more about how the GOP has become a bunch of losers. He really was striking out against the current head of the Republican National Committee. Here's more.
Please make your case. Why should you be the nominee and not the former president?
I think there's something deeper going on in the Republican Party here, and I am upset about what happened last night. We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It is a cancer to the Republican establishment. Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will turn over my, yield my time to you. And frankly, look, the people there cheering for losing in the Republican Party. Think about who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. You think the Democrats, and we've got Kristen Welker here, you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kristen, I'm going to use this time because this is actually about you in the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go.
Mr. Rogers,
this is how we get our country back. We need accountability because this media.
I think that was quite brilliant because the media did push all the happy horseshit about Russian interference. What he's leaving out is Barack Obama, before he left office, ensured Republicans would never win another election by putting our electoral system under the control of the Department of Homeland Security so they could monitor elections right down to the precinct level and change the vote. The fact that any Democrat is winning anywhere is a sign to me they're still stealing the elections. The situation is so bad in terms of Biden policies, his popularity is so low. You got like 70% of the Democrat Party does not want him to run again. That should be showing up in the voting, but it's not. And in my opinion, that is precisely because they're still manipulating the vote behind the scene. Every here now and then, there's a ray of light. Here's one. Prosecutor had tried jailing distraught dad whose daughter was raped by transvestite, may have been voted out of office. I say, I would most like that to be the case. Virginians appear to have successfully voted Loudoun County's George Soros-backed prosecutor out of office. Unofficial results from the Virginia Department of Election indicate Commonwealth Attorney Buta Baberja lost the election to Republican challenger Bob Anderson by over 1,000 votes, with well over 95% counted. She, however, refuses to concede. Where have we seen that before? Meanwhile, swing states. Now, this, you see, is from objective polling, and one of the ways you can assess whether an election was properly conducted or not is whether the outcomes are consistent with past polling. In 2020, they manifestly were not. Even the post-election, the exit polling contradicted what the vote that was recorded, in my opinion, proved positive it had been stolen. Get this, swing states, swinging Trump's way, Biden left in the dust. A recent poll by the New York Times and Sierra College, it was revealed former President Trump is leading Joe Biden in 5 out of 6 crucial swing states by significant margins. The swing states of Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan all express a preference for Trump over Biden in the 2024 election by a margin of 3 to 10 points. The only exception was Wisconsin, where Biden holds a slight lead over Trump. I'm not quite sure how to account for that. I don't think my fellow Wisconsinites are dimmer bulbs than those we find elsewhere in the country, but God knows it shouldn't be that way. Surprise, surprise. BLM member, branch co-founders, election bombshell. Trump, the best candidate for president. From BLM. How about that? Now, here's something we're learning that they're going to do again and again. Email. DHS, this is the Department of Homeland Security that's supposed to be defending the nation from threats, foreign and domestic. DHS, this info group suppressed free speech ahead of the 2020 vote. Are you surprised? House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan said Monday, federal government disinformation experts at university, big tech, and others work together through the Election Integrity Partnership. Get that. They create an organization that's going to undermine our election integrity, and they call it the Election Integrity Partnership to monitor and censor American speech during that 2020 election. The federal government and universities pressured social media companies to censor true information, jokes, and political opinions, said an internal staff report from the House Judiciary and its select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government, both of which Jordan chairs. Pressure was largely directed in a way that benefited one side of the political aisle. True information posted by Republicans and conservatives was labeled misinformation, while false information posted by Democrats and liberals was largely unreported or untouched by the censors. They let it stand as though it were true. How telling. Meanwhile, the Senate has passed a resolution overriding Biden's electric vehicle charge rule. Good thing. Electric cars are a scandal, just as are 15-minute cities. Think about it. If you are in a 15-minute city, you cannot travel more than 15 minutes. And if that's walking time, I walk 1 mile in 15 minutes, okay? You can't go more than a mile away from your home without gaining permission. That makes your cities prison camps, open-air prison camps. Right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Back in 2012, the Obama administration repealed the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation that were being used abroad within the United States. In other words, he legalized using propaganda on the American people just in time to bring a Sandy Hook. Ever since, any time they want to stir up public opinion, they ought to have another premise for a phony case, just like the Jussie Smollett absurdity was generated to support an absurd anti-lynching bill Kamala Harris and Cory Booker had before the Senate was stalled to give it a boost. They give us another phony shooting event. Believe me, I have investigated one after another, and they're bullshit. Nashville is no exception. Elon Musk's reaction to Nashville shooter's manifesto is spot on, reports Blaze. This past Monday, Stephen Crowder, host of Louder with Crowder, shared leaked images from the Nashville shooter's alleged manifesto. And I guarantee you, this was all done. This is a script. This is all written by people in Hollywood or the White House. Hollywood and the White House have merged. It's all political theater. Virtually nothing is real. Kept under lock and key for months, pending completion of the investigation. With lines like, "Want to kill all you little crackers, and I hope I have a high death count." The manifesto is disturbing, to say the least. If it were real, yeah, maybe. Yesterday, Elon Musk retweeted Crowder's original post, along with his reaction to seeing the manifesto. Elon Musk tweets, "Clearly mentally ill, but also clearly brainwashed into being a mass murderer by the system." Except it was all political theater. I'm giving you links to a couple different exposés here. One from an anonymous doctor of chiropractic who observed that the shooter actually appears to be a young man. The person in the featured in the shooting is a young man, unlike the girl in her 20s who is supposed to have been the tranny. And introduce a tranny in order to obfuscate the sex difference. The shooter's wearing black sneakers, Vans, but when the body is examined after a shootout inside, they've turned into multicolored Pumas. I mean, it's just absurd. They make mistakes like this. Now, there's an excellent piece here about how you can tell and sort out what that the shooter is a boy, but that the woman is supposed to have been a person. Thus, it's entitled "The Nashville Shooter: Girl Playing a Boy or a Boy Playing a Girl." I also add here, Joaquin Hagopian, Maine's gun-grabbing false flag shooting. This was one more stage event. I have a featured photograph there where you can see that the alleged suspect doesn't even look like the guy who's photographed coming out of the bowling alley. More bullshit from an administration. But I've embedded there multiple videos, including Nashville shooting hoax with Brian Davidson. Don't miss it. I'll be right back to take your call.
I want somebody to love. Somebody to love.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.